السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء كرام، most respected brothers, all of us are well aware that we are very, very close to the month of Ramadan. If the moon is sighted, then we will be fasting, inshallah, within 2 days' time. However, whether we will see that Ramadan or not, none of us are aware of. On the night of the 15th of Shaban, we discussed that the list of those that are going to die this year is given to the angels, and the list of those that are going to be born is given to the angels. A person is planning to go for Hajj, but his name is already in the list of the dead. The person is building a house, but his name is already in the list of the dead. The person is marrying, but his name is already in the list of the dead. He's planting in the garden, but his name is in the list of the dead. So shaitan and nafs will always tell us that, no, this is for somebody else, it's not for you. Your name wasn't written this year. Yet we are seeing with our own eyes that after the 15th of Shaban, how many people lost their family members, they lost their children, some lost their wives, some lost their parents. Immediately after that, so many have gone before our very eyes. But yet shaitan and nafs will not allow us to believe that there is a possibility and a likelihood that our name too was included in that list. So this world is a world in which we live on hope, but it must be balanced with fear. And that is iman. Al-imanu bayna al-khawf wa al-raja. That there must be fear also, and there must be hope also. We must not have so much of fear that we cannot conduct business, we cannot marry, we cannot plan ahead. There mustn't be that much fear, and also there mustn't be that much hope that we go on committing all the sins in our life and we do not even worry that we are answerable and accountable and there will be a day of judgment. For if there was no question of being allowed to plan ahead, then no person can run his business. Now if the person has to stock up for Christmas, so he has to do it from now, he has to give his orders, he has to get the necessary merchandise. So now we can't tell him that, no, your death could come the very next second, so how can you plan for Christmas from now? Or how can you plan for next year's Hajj from now? There's nothing wrong with planning ahead. Shariat and Islam is a very beautiful way of life. You can plan 50 years ahead if you wish to, but at the same time the yaqeen must be that I could go the very next second. So in other words, that planning also must not be such that it restrains the person or prohibits him or restricts him from doing that which is to be done before the reaching the hereafter. So this month of Ramadan which is coming, it comes every year and it goes. And I mentioned and I gave the example last night, which I would like to repeat for the benefit of a new audience that we have on Juma days. And I may have given this before too. That if, for example, a person has been informed today that this Imam of Haram Sharif is going to be visiting South Africa, and you have been given the opportunity to host him, and Allah Ta'ala has given you a nice spacious home, he has given the wealth, he has given a good car, he has given everything. So the person does not then relax just because he's got a car, a spacious home and everything, now he's relaxed that the guest is going to come. He's excited. He wants to make arrangement, who's going to welcome him at the airport, how many guests to invite, which room he's going to put up in, and what will be his program, and how is he going to be transported around. And there's so much of excitement. Why? Because he is coming from Makkah Mukarramah or Madinah Tayyibah, and he is the imam of those Mubarak masajid. So this person is excited to welcome him, and he makes sure that he entertains him in the manner that is befitting that guest. Now if that guest comes, this person hasn't made any preparation, there's nobody to welcome him at the airport, there's nobody to arrange his transport and move around, and in his home also the room in which he's going to put up that guest, that respectable and honored guest, in that room he's got dead cats, dead rats, and he's got monkeys lying there, or carcasses, or dead bodies there, then do you think that guest will ever be happy? That guest, whoever has made the arrangement, or if it is a kingdom that has made the arrangement, they will say that we are extremely saddened by the kind of reception that you gave to our honored and respected imam, and as a result, in future you don't deserve any kind of attention. They will withdraw all the favors. Now these human beings of this world, if Allah Ta'ala has given them some kind of a position of honor, if we give them so much of attention when they are our guests, then imagine the month of Ramadan, which is sent by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as a guest for the believers. That make the best of this month. I am sending it as a guest with rahmat, with blessings, with mercy. It is not a guest that will cause you any kind of harm. It is not a guest that will leave you in problems. It is not a guest that is indisciplined, that we get some kind of guest that they will cause a kind of damage in our home. This guest is coming with so much of barakat and so much of rahmat. But if you are not going to appreciate this great gift of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this great guest of Ramadan, and if your lifestyles are not going to change, and it's going to be the same pattern as it was before Ramadan, then this guest, when it is going to go disappointed, then it will leave behind that curse of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was rahmatul lil alameen, mercy unto the worlds. He was not concerned when anybody hit him, beat him up, they stoned him, they troubled him. He kept making dua for them, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, these people are ignorant, they don't know me. So therefore forgive them and give them hidayat. But yet he curses those people who get the month of Ramadan. Or he says, Ameen on the curse of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that the person got the month of Ramadan, but he did not show appreciation for that month of Ramadan, and he allowed it to go by without gaining his maghfirat. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends down his wrath and anger on that person because this guest was not honored in the way that was befitting. Therefore, with regards to the month of Ramadan, you will be listening to many, many bayans in the month of Ramadan, and especially this ayat of taqwa. Practically every masjid, every occasion, every jalsa, every get-together, they will be discussing this ayat, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Why is fasting prescribed upon you? It is prescribed so that you may become muttaqi. So that will continue. But for today's Jumu'ah, because we are approaching the month of Ramadan, so we have to understand that it is not a burden that is put upon our shoulders, that now we will have to start fasting. From morning till evening we will have to stay hungry, and we will have to stay away from this and that, and we will have to make Taraweeh, and we will have to make Tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and we have to get up early for Sehri. That is not the sign of an ashik of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he considers all these things as burden. There is a clear-cut sign that this person has got no ishq and love for Allah Ta'ala if he considers this month of Ramadan as a burden. The Awliya-i-Kiram, they looked forward to the month of Ramadan. Right from the month of Rajab, they are making preparation for the month of Ramadan. As the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi and many others, with regards to the Ramadan, the alphabets, they have given different meanings. They say that every word has got a meaning. Ramadan with a Ra. He says the Ra is for Radha of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. To get the blessings, to get the happiness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then with regards to the Meem, he says that Meem is for Muhabbat. To create that love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. By fasting, by reading Quran Sharif, by making Taraweeh, by engaging in Zikr, by giving charities, by taking care of the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans. Now this person is creating and developing that love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is also loving this person because he is using this month of Ramadan constructively. And if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala becomes pleased and Allah Ta'ala gives him his love, then he's got everything in this world. And if Allah Ta'ala is not happy with him, then he's got nothing. As you hear so many times in the dua, अगर एक तू नहीं मेरा तो कोई शे नहीं मेरी, अगर एक तू नहीं मेरा तो कोई शे नहीं मेरी, जो तू मेरा तो सब मेरा, फलक मेरा जमी मेरी। ओ माई बिलवड अल्लाह, इफ यू आर नॉट माइन देन नथिंग इज माइन। My home will not give me comfort. The person will not look forward to even going to his own house because he's not going to find comfort there. There will be war in that house. There will be third world war all the time. Husband and wife, children, parents, there will be just one ongoing war. Now this person tries to avoid that. He doesn't want to even go home. The person's business will not give him barakat because Allah Ta'ala is not his. He's saying, oh Allah, if you are mine, then everything is mine. If you are not mine, then nothing is mine. So he's got a massive business, he's got an empire, but he's got no peace and no happiness. That business is not giving him any kind of barakat. There's just a great flow of money and cash, but no barakat, no peace, no happiness. The children will not be the coolness of the person's eyes. We always say, oh Allah, make my children the coolness of my eyes. But when this person is going to be disobedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Allah ta'ala will turn against him, then this person will not find any kind of joy in his own children. The children will distance themselves from the parents. So he says that this is for rida of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that meme is for the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The dhad day in Ramadan is for zamanat. In other words, protection. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan gives that person protection from different kinds of mischief. Mischief of the nafs, mischief of shaitan. So much so that Allah ta'ala closes the doors of Jahannam. And the mischievous shayateen are all chained up to make it easy for this banda of his. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves his servant so much that he's making it easy, that he's chaining this evil shayateen. We say, but then still we carry on sinning in the month of Ramadan. That is our habit, which we have formed over the whole year. Now if the person does not even make a little bit of effort to restrain himself from those evil habits, then you don't blame Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for that. So this is what the person is saying in the month of Ramadan getting, that Allah Ta'ala is making it easy for him. Then Alif is for Ihsan of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which is in abundance in the month of Ramadan. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's bounties are unlimited. If you have to go into each letter and discuss it, it will require hours. And finally, noon for the noor, the light of this month of Ramadan. So we must not look at it as a burden, that it is some kind of burden now on our shoulders. We will have to fast. What will we do? Try it out. Experience it. That if you stay away from sins, that fast becomes extremely easy. In India, when it was the summer months, at that time we had to fast for about 18 hours. For 17 hours. And extreme heat also. But believe me that if you make an effort to stay away from sins, then it becomes easy to even fast for 20 hours. But when the person is sinning in the month of Ramadan, the fast of even 8 hours becomes difficult for him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system is such. Then again, if you have to look at this fast, the purpose of it is taqwa. There's no other purpose except that we develop this God consciousness. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching every movement of ours. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is aware of the movement of a tiny black ant that is crawling on a pitch black rock in the darkest of all nights. Now how will we develop that yaqeen that yes indeed Allah ta'ala is watching every movement? Because what else is going to restrain us from sins? The government can have police force upon police force. They have a police force, then they have commissioners of police, and then they have another police to police the police, because there's so much of corruption. Then they appoint another commission to police that police. Now how long are they going to appoint police? Until you don't develop that taqwa in the hearts, or until the community at large does not become conscious and aware of the fact that there is a hereafter. There is a day of judgment in which we have to stand before our Creator and answer for our doings. Until then, there's no power to make us restrain ourselves from sins. We will say that if father is not watching, neighbors are not watching, police is not watching, then you can steal. So in the month of Ramadan, this consciousness is developed in our hearts and minds that Allah Ta'ala is watching every move of ours. And that is the reason why in that Hadith Sharif where Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala increases the reward. When a person does a good deed, I'm giving you the mafhum of that hadith, then Allah Ta'ala gives a minimum of 10 times reward. and it can increase up to 700 times. And the angels are made aware that this is what you must record for this person when he does this good deed or that good deed. However, when it comes to fasting, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, that is for me. Wa ana ajzi bihi. And I will reward that fasting person myself. For that fast, I will give the reward myself. Now if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is saying that he will reward, then we can imagine what kind of reward that must be. And another meaning, if we have to read it, wa udza bihi, that I am the reward of that fasting. That means all the time we have been saying, oh Allah, we want you to become ours and we want you to make us yours. So now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, well, if you want that, you fast in this month of Ramadan. I will become yours then. If you want me to become yours, then fast in this month of Ramadan. But then we have to fulfill the rites of that fast. Whilst we are fasting, our ghibat is carrying on, our gossip is carrying on, our fraud is carrying on, our cheating and our watching of the movies and TVs and everything is carrying on. And we say we have fasted. So that kind of fast, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says in the Hadith Sharif, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صُيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوءِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قَيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهْرِ. Such kind of fasting people, what did they gain by staying away from food and drink? Nothing except hunger and thirst. And then they stayed awake at night, but because of the riya and show, they got nothing except loss of sleep. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, is not in need of such kind of fast. مَلَّمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةً أَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of that person giving up his drink and his food if he's not going to give up sins. He zururi gunaho ko bhi chhoda de. It's very important that the person has to give up sins. And Allah Ta'ala is making it easy for him in this month of Ramadan to give up those sins. If the person spends his 1 month of Ramadan correctly, then the rest of the year also the person will experience that nur, that rahmat, that sukoon in his heart. It will be easy for him to make nawaz, to make zikr, tilawat, to fulfill the rights of people, to stay away from all haram. It will be easy. But if he has not spent his month of Ramadan correctly, then he will continue in the same pattern. And he will experience that restlessness, no sukoon in the heart, no peace of mind. Outside conditions do not affect the hearts of the awliya-i-kiram. The awliya-i-kiram, they go through sometimes very difficult trials and tests. Rasul-e-Pak-Sarasam and his companions, what kind of trials they went through? We can't even imagine. Was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala no committing any sins? Was Rasulullah s.a.w. committing any sins? Were all these companions of his who were being tortured and punished and persecuted, were they committing any sins? What kind of trials they went through? But did any one of them say that I got tired with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, na'uzu billah, I'm making so much of dua too, and I make my namaz too, and I make my zikr and tilawat too, and I'm not committing any sins too, and look at the amount of trouble that I'm going through. Did anybody say that? Even in that beating when you were saying Allah, or Allahu Ahad, what kind of enjoyment he was getting, ask him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them a kind of sukoon in their hearts, irrespective of the outside conditions.
जिससे हैं आप खुश इस जहां में वो शब और रोज है गुलसिता में जिससे हैं आप खुश इस जहां में वो शब और रोज है गुलसिता में देख कर मेरे अश्के नदामत अब्र रहमत की बारिश है जामे.
Ah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is happy with the person, then day and night he is in gardens. What do the people know what he is enjoying in his heart? Those waves of the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go on flowing in that heart. And that is what gives them that sukoon under difficult conditions and trials. That waves of the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala, waves of the ocean, we know that it just go on moving, there's no end to it. One set of waves reaches the shore and another one starts and another one, and it carries on and on and on. It doesn't stop. In the same way, this person who has developed in his heart that love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he has developed in his heart taqwa, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's love is such, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's love is such, that those waves keep on flowing in the heart. Difficult conditions, trials, anything, this person will be strong, he'll be like a mountain. We don't ask for difficulties and trials because we are extremely weak. We must always ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for afiyah. So this month of Ramadan which is coming, it is a month full of blessings, full of rahmat, full of mercy. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy knows no bounds in this Mubarak month. And then as you know that towards the latter part of the month, when we have the last 10 days of Ramadan, then read the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regards to Laylatul Qadr. There's so much that you will still listen to about the month of Ramadan, but in this program for this Jumu'ah, it is to give this message that we should not take it to be just any ordinary month, or just that we are fasting. That is not sufficient. The spirit and the ruh and the soul of that fast must come into our lives. And that will come when we restrain ourselves totally from all sins. When we are giving up that food which is halal, we are giving up that drink which is halal, we are giving up that wife during the hours of fasting which is halal, then how much more we must restrain ourselves from everything that is haram. Control of the gaze, control of the ears, control of the tongue, control of the hands and feet, control of the heart and mind. Even our imagination must not be allowed to run wild, as we allow it to run wild in other parts of the year. At least this month of Ramadan is a training ground. It is a training field. So therefore we should curtail our worldly activities to the bare minimum. We don't say that you must not go to the business, you must not go and earn a livelihood, and those people who are working also, they cannot do anything about the times of, that they have to go and work. But what we should be doing is that those people who are not tied because they are employees or anything of that kind, then they should try and curtail as much as possible the worldly activities. Spend the time in the masjid, read the Quran Sharif, make tilawat, make zikr, make ibadat, do some good works and good deeds, or go and sleep. If the person is tired, he better sleep. That sleeping of that person is better than him engaging in gossip and passing his time on the television or playing cards or engaging in other kind of haram. And he say what he is doing is passing time. Was Ramadan the month for passing time? When there's so much to be done. So our friends, if we know that these are the friends that take us to all the wrong places, then we should now make a pact with that friend that if you are my friend, then you must be concerned about my welfare, my goodness. You should be concerned that I must get the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. You should not be taking me to those places which will bring about destruction for me and my family in this world, in the qabr and in the akhirah. So this is what a friend is all about. So if a person has friend or friends, then this is what he should be doing. They talk to those friends. Then let us make this Ramadan a special Ramadan. Let us make it a unique Ramadan. We have spent so many Ramadans and we don't seem to have really gained anything. Let us make this Ramadan a very special Ramadan where we make all out effort to restrain ourselves from sins for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And you think that Allah for whom this person is restraining himself, you think he's not going to reward that person? When this person is every time going to control himself from all those deeds and actions which are displeasing to Allah ta'ala, how much of happiness Allah ta'ala will get, and then that Allah ta'ala will make his life in this world and the akhirah a very pleasant one. So as far as taqwa is concerned, inshallah we'll discuss next week if Allah ta'ala gives life and an opportunity. But let us at least make that niyat from now, that we want to enter Ramadan in a purified state of heart. So we are going to spend the next 2 days in trying to purify this heart so that we start getting the benefits of the month of Ramadan as soon as we enter the Ramadan. And not that already we have got plans for the weekend. They say this is the last weekend, so make the best of it. Don't leave any casino, don't leave any cinema, any disco, any theater, any kind of haram movie or film, or any kind of filth on the webs. And do not leave any kind of music. Why? Because Ramadan is going to start. That is not a Muslim. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of doing that which is pleasing to him and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala make this Ramadan a very special Ramadan, a very beautiful Ramadan, a month of rahmat and blessings for all. May Allah Ta'ala make it a Ramadan which will bring about a complete change in the conditions of the Ummah at large around the world. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala assist and help those brothers and sisters of ours who are suffering, whether it's in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Africa, America, Europe, anywhere. And may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala cause the winds of Hidayah to blow in this month of Ramadan. And those who haven't got Iman, may Allah bring them into Islam. And those who have got Islam, may Allah Ta'ala strengthen their Islam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.